And we returned here to Monday Night Talk. Thank you very much for staying tuned in to the program. I will say, if you've missed any of the segments tonight, or maybe in the past couple of weeks, you heard a segment and you're like, oh, I wonder if I could hear it again. We do upload the podcast, well, these segments as podcasts, to the WATD website, 959WATD.com. Our next guests are two esteemed guests that I'm very happy to have here. Starting, well, I don't know about the first one. It's none other than Bob Hayes, who is a reoccurring, he's been a co-host on here. We've talked about different issues. He is also the chair of the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District School Committee. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, Bob.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to come to WATD and be, whether I'm here getting questions or asking questions, it's very thankful to have you here. So thank you for having us in tonight.
You got it. And again, Bob is here as a part of this, a very special conversation we're going to have. Of course, we have the school district superintendent, school superintendent, Dr. Ruth Gilbert Whitner. And this is your first time here? Have you ever
it's
been?
The first time in the studio.
Oh, okay.
But I've been a longtime listener of WATD.
That's going to get your points right there.
Good.
Just by saying that. And the conversation that we're having is in regards to, it's been tough for a lot of communities over the past, I want to say the past decade, just in my mind. It might go back even further to as far as the start of the Prop 2.5 back in the 80s, for all I know. Folks might argue with me with that. But with it, when it comes to the money that you can raise as far as taxes and be able to every year annually set your budget moving forward, can be a difficult task. And from what I'm understanding is that the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District, you guys have put together something very unique in the hopes of trying to at least reclaim some of what has been lost over the past several years. And that is just whether it's programs, whether it's teachers, specific teachers like foreign language. And there's something called a school success budget. Which one of you wants to take the mantle first and talk to me about this?
Yeah, why don't I start, Kevin, with a little bit of history? I think
sure,
you're very
do.
Accurate in saying it's been about 10 years. The Whitman-Hanson Regional School District, upon regionalization, was very fortunate to get quite a high percentage of state aid. And that went on from regionalization in the early 90s till about 2007, when there was a real look at the formula as to what school districts were getting, and in particular, regional school districts such as Whitman-Hanson. So at that point in time, the amount of state aid, rather than growing as it had been, began to level off. And no sooner did that happen than they also developed a formula called Target Share. And Target Share looked at what communities, cities, and towns should be paying for schools. And they set targets annually based on aggregate income, property values, things such as that. Right. And it became very evident for communities such as Whitman and Hanson that they were not hitting Target Share. No one's fault, really. It was just that the towns had become very used to getting substantial amounts of state aid. No sooner did that happen than we had the bank crisis in 2008,
yep.
And off we went. And as a result, state aid leveled, and we were not, with the tax rates, you talked about Prop 2.5, able to make up that difference. So here we are today looking at the budget for 2016-2017, and Whitman-Hanson, which used to be more at the middle in terms of per pupil spending, is now in the bottom 3%, a tenth from the bottom. So we were at a point in time where we felt it was time to look at this in a new way and see what we could do for our students.
And I've been privileged to kind of witness yourself and Bob and other folks as part of a team that has been assembled. And this idea isn't something that was just generated in the past month or two, but it's been something that you and your team have been working on extensively, correct?
Yes, it actually goes back to really the end of last summer, I would say, when we were actually approached by some community members who were pretty upset that our per pupil spending was so far lower than in surrounding communities. And I think that got us to thinking, we really can't keep going the way we are, because
right.
What we'd done in the past is we'd present the budget, we'd end up cutting it, and our current school year budget is up by less than 1%. As a result, we've had to eliminate a number of things.
Now, that's where I get to bring you in, Bob, because she mentioned that from time to time, I know sometimes when you do business on a monthly basis as a school committee, you might be lucky if you have a reporter in the audience and maybe one or two concerned citizens. But I think over the past 6 months, you've had folks who've come in and have had concerns about the money and what's being spent and what's being taken care of as regards to the future of our children's education, correct?
Well, Kevin, I'm glad that you asked that question. We have, as a school committee, our charge is to help set the budget with the administration, right, and to come to some sort of an idea of where the budget needs to be. And there's been a ton of discussion that a lot of this budget isn't transparent. But every single thing that's ever talked about on budget is done at a school committee meeting. And we ask, and we are delighted in the last 6 months that people are coming forward to see what our budget looks like, to get a better education on what's going on with school budgets, how they're built from the very foundation of the budget all the way to the end of the budget. Mm. It's a difficult process. It's done 100% in the open at a school committee meeting. We take every meeting, they're broadcast live, and they're all also recorded for use at a future date if anyone wants to see any of our facts. So part of the hardest part of building this budget and getting it out to the community is doing right what we're doing now. A lot of people don't come to the meetings, but in the last 6 to 7 months, we've had a lot of people come, we've had a lot of support, and we want people to come, we invite people to come, we enjoy having them in the audience, because the more they know about the school district, they can see it's black and white. Whitman-Hanson Regional School District is a wonderful school district that provides a great education. Mm-hmm. Their children, we have 286 children graduating in the next couple of weeks, and you'll be there, I'm sure, to film that. And graduation's a fun time of the year. But it's all there. And we employ, please come to school committee meetings. It's one of the things that you can do. They're not long and boring. I try to keep them as short as we possibly can. But they're informative. And the best thing is they're about the community. It's a community, and that's what the school is about, community.
Okay. A part of what this conversation is about is this coming Saturday, both the towns of Whitman and Hanson will have their annual town elections. I know that in Hanson, it's held at the McQuan
School.
From when to when? Is it from 10 to 5 or 9 to 5?
I believe it's 9 to 5,
okay.
Kevin.
And it's similar in Whitman, where it's at Town Hall on South Avenue from 9 to 5. Folks get to go in. I want to say there's limited numbers of seats that are up for grabs. I think you got a tree warden that's up for grabs. And
Hanson,
I don't mean to laugh. It's a very serious job. But it's the top seat that's up for election. And then in Whitman, I think you have a school committee member race. There's two seats, three people running. But the other important aspect is that there is an override question that was approved at both town meetings. That is, it is a $3 million request, but for each respective town, it's divided as to the number of the students. So I want to say it's a little bit more than 1.7 for Whitman.
That's right.
And a little bit more than 1.2 for Hanson.
That's correct, Kevin.
Talk about the importance of this particular override question and the importance of it passing in order to move forward successfully when it comes to educating the students of this district.
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that. This year, when we presented our budget, we knew we had to do something different. So what we did is we have it's a big team that puts this together. We met in the fall. It's the central office team, the leadership team, the administrative team. We also went to all of our stakeholders, the folks who teach and work in our schools. And we tried to say, what do you really need to educate our students, knowing that we've had a lot of cuts over the past 10 years? So in the past, we've put together a budget that we present to school committee and then spend quite a bit of time actually going through the cutting process. And a perfect example is one that Mr. Hayes brought up a few minutes ago, is that this year we've had better attendance at school committee meetings than ever before. It's because people finally noticed that what we had been saying was true. Last spring, just about this time, we said to folks, we're going to have to close the libraries at the elementary school. We don't have the revenue to be able to do it.
Who does that?
No, I don't think anyone believed us.
No.
But when school started in the fall and the libraries weren't open, people saw it. So we took a new approach this year. We provided the school committee with our typical budget, but we divided it into two components. One was a level service component that also included some special education compliance things that we needed to meet. And we showed them, this is what the budget would be up if we did the same things in 2016-17 that we're doing right now. But we've taken into account increases in salaries, in contracted services, utilities, the typical things that go up for everybody. And we were up by $1.4 million. We said, but look, we've had to cut. And what's happened before is we cut in a conference room. Public doesn't hear it. They don't see it. We talk about it at school committees. But we thought, we're going to put together what we call a student success component that shows what we believe as multiple leadership teams in the district and the community, the educational community, are the priorities for the whole child to help us move forward. We also looked at what we thought was reasonable. When we asked people what they needed, it was like $10, $11, $12 million increase. Well, that's not viable. But $3 million really prioritizing the whole child became the student success component of the budget. That's what's going to override on Saturday.
And that's a reality. It's the reality. And a lot of folks, it's interesting because over the years that I've had a chance to cover communities when they ask the community to help when it comes to education, when it comes to even just doing a simple override, whether it's something that's on the municipal side or not, you get the folks who they automatically take up positions. And I guess I would turn to Bob. I'm sure that since this was something that was proposed and put forth, you've heard your share of conversation from people in regards. Talk about the importance of folks getting out and voting, whether they agree with this or not.
Well, it's funny you should ask that, Kevin. Just as of yesterday, I went to the town clerk's office, and I didn't know that this can be done, but people can go to the town clerk's office Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and vote.
Absentee.
It's called early voting. No, it's not absentee.
Oh.
Absentee is a completely different component. You can walk into the clerk's office and vote right in front of the clerk. There are two booths set up. She gives you the same ballot that you would receive on a Saturday vote, and you can vote early. If you are absentee, if you are in a distant place,
yep,
you can request an absentee ballot.
Well, there's three things. You either have to be disabled,
yep,
religious belief, or if you're not going to be in town,
yep,
and when the polls are open between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Right, but you can early vote. It's called Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. So that's one component that I didn't even know about, and I've been voting for many, many years. It's just a part of it, Kevin. And when you talk about budgets, the second part of your question is, you talk about budgets, it definitely has impact on everyone in town. There's no question. And everybody, we take everyone into account. It impacts seniors. It impacts people that have children in school. And it also impacts people that don't have children in school. But part of education is a lifelong type of thing where you pay for it. It comes about year-round.
It's part of being a part of a community.
Exactly. It's a responsibility of a community member. Plus, if you had children in the district and you see what it costs, it's a cost that's spread out over the years of being in the community. And a lot of people think, well, it doesn't raise the value of your home. Ask any real estate broker. If you don't believe that question, call any real estate office and say to them, what's the first question people ask when they come to look at
amenities?
A home in a
town? How's the school system?
How's the fire department? How's the police department?
Yeah.
How's the school system?
How close am I to a shopping mall? There's a bunch of different things.
Exactly.
When you're looking for a home, you want to know if it's going to fit your mall. And if you have young kids, you want to make sure that they're going into a great school system that's caring and that it's going to give them something that's going to help them when they get to our age.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we are speaking with Bob Hayes and Ruth Gilbert Whitner. They are with the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District. Of course, Ruth is the superintendent, and Bob is the school committee chair. And we're talking about the upcoming override question that is on the ballot in the town of Whitman and Hanson, talking about the success of the student success budget, what has gone into it. What are some of the myths, if I can throw this out there, what are some of the myths that folks may not understand, or maybe they get a small piece of information and they grow it from there and not really necessarily get the accurate information?
Plenty of myths that we can talk about.
Okay. I like
many
myths.
People, because they went to school, don't have a real deep understanding of how school and the challenges of school systems have changed since they were in school.
Yeah.
One of the ones we've heard is, I have no idea why they would need social workers in the schools. There were no social workers when I went to school. Why do we need them? Well, we have found educating the whole child today, the pressures that are on families, both parents working, unfortunately, the opioid problems that we're dealing with, huge, many, many impacts in families. Our principals spoke eloquently about this at a school committee meeting, saying, and it's not just low income, although we have had an increase in low income since the recession, many children under lots of pressure, social media, something that didn't exist when any of us were in school, has a huge impact on our children and our families. So need for social workers, huge. We do have them now, but it's paid for by a grant, and that grant is going to go away. So one of them, one is, don't know why you need social workers. Unfortunately, with the sudden death of a student, we've had many people saying to us, hey, I think we now know why we might need social workers in schools. But that's one of the ones. There have been plenty of them. We've certainly heard concerns, though. Well, we've seen that the average teacher salary in Whitman-Hanson is higher than average. I think that you probably don't need money. But what people don't see with averages are things such as the fact that teachers come to Whitman-Hanson and they don't leave. When we went through,
that's what you want.
Exactly.
You don't want them where there is a placeholder looking for a better paying position in another community. You want to keep them.
Exactly.
You want to grow them.
We have many veteran teachers, and when we went through the budget back in February, we went through it with the school committee and the public and said, this is where salaries are up, but we've got teachers who've been here for many, many years. In addition to that, with the cuts that we've had to make over the past 10 years, it has been the lower salary teachers, the new people on staff, who we've had to let go, pushing the average up. In addition to that, our salary table is no different than any of our surrounding communities and really pretty average in comparison. We just completed our Unit A teachers negotiations, and we were well aware of what other communities are paying, and we are nowhere out of line. But that's one of the issues, because when you see a higher average, someone who may not want to support the override is going to look at that. The other one is a student class size, student teacher ratio.
Yeah, that's always a big one.
Well, if you go on the Department of Education website, it said it's 16.9:1. Well, that sounds fabulous. But when I was meeting with teachers, I said, please raise your hand if you have 16.9:1 students in your classroom. And of course, no hands went up.
I'd like to meet the 0.9. But,
yeah, me too.
But I would think that. But
kid
I would
with
think,
poor attendance is what that is.
I would think that, but that would be an average, because you might see sometimes where there's a classroom that is on the high end, but you might have classrooms that have small numbers,
well,
right?
We do, because we have a class size at Indian Head School right now of 30 students, but we also have a special education program with students with significant disabilities at Hanson Middle School, with 3 students in
it.
So if you add those two together and divide by 2, there's your average. And what they're really looking to is student-teacher ratio, not a regular classroom. So you may have a music teacher with 30 and somebody else with 3. But if you look at it visually, there's a chart that's been put out. It's very clear we're not at a good place.
Right.
But that's another myth that's been there. Full-day kindergarten is another one. We've had people say to us, you know, I didn't go to kindergarten and I turned out all right. That's another thing. Skills today, we cannot graduate students who are not skilled. And if we don't get those reading and math benchmarks met by age 7 or 8, they're not going to happen.
I want to stay with the kindergarten
sure.
thing there. Where does Whitman, the Whitman-Hanson School District, stand in regards to the rest of the Commonwealth with full-day kindergarten? I want to say is that Whitman-Hanson is on, there's a small number of communities that don't offer it, and Whitman-Hanson is in that, where you have a large majority that do. Is that right?
We do, and there's some information that's been put out for strategies for children that indicates that about 85% of the school systems in the Commonwealth have no-cost full-day kindergarten. We do have full-day, but it's a tuition of $3,200 a year. We have some scholarships, but we run a half-day program as well. So when students are entering first grade, some have had the full-day experience, some have had a half-day, where the teachers had the challenge of trying to get what's most pertinent into a short period of time. By the time you take off kids' boots and coats and hats and do some snack and do potty breaks, there's not a whole lot of time to do academics. A lot of research has shown that students who have a full day experience have better attendance, they stay in school, much more likely to complete high school, and also go on to higher education or into a career that requires some skills.
And you're able to actually track that data. You could tell students that actually have had the full day experience compared to the ones that have not, right?
Yeah, we have largely anecdotal data on that right now, because I did ask our elementary principals, what do you see in terms of differences? And they can give you many stories as to why the full day experience benefits students socially as well as academically.
Bob, give me your take on a lot of what we've just kind of heard from Ruth in regards to a lot of the information that is put forth. I mean, especially if you want to talk about teacher salaries, I see it on social media where people are kind of tossing the conversation around like, oh, what are they going to be paid? I would rather see my teachers paid a decent wage and maintain the talent than have paying a low end and getting what you get.
Well, to kind of chime in on what Ruth talked about, mm-hmm. with teachers and salaries, you don't want a revolving door teacher base coming forward. You want to have teachers that stay. Whitman Hanson is fortunate. We have a lot of teachers that have been there for a long time. They're wonderful teachers. They look at the whole student. They get what goes on. But the downside of that is it does bring the average up, because when you hire new teachers and then you're laying them off because of budget cuts, it definitely skews the average pay. And people say, well, you're on the higher end of the scale. It's like anything else. You can try everything in social media and it gets kicked around back and forth. I mean, someone questioned me about why we take in school choice students. You use that as a revenue. That's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. That fills in gaps. It's only done at the high school. If you have a teacher that's teaching 12 children and you bring a school choice student on, now they're teaching 13, there is no extra cost to the district, but there is some revenue benefit to that from the student. In the same way, we lose students to school choice in other districts. They go to other districts. And you also have charter schools, mm-hmm. which is another issue that affects a budget directly. Sure. When a student goes to a charter school, they have different regulations. They're not held to the standard
That's
of a public
correct.
School. But we are obligated to send money to the charter school, and it hurts the public school budget.
And I want to kind of throw something in there, because I've heard the argument on this, and that is how maybe regulations need to be looked at when it comes to charter. And I don't want to go off the beaten path, because we have a direction that we're and a message that we're trying to get forth here with this conversation this evening. And that is that charter schools, they can cherry pick the best talent, and if for some reason the student does not make it through the entire academic year, then go back to
the
district.
That's correct.
And that cost is incurred on the school district and not necessarily on the charter school.
Absolutely.
As well as I believe, where do they stand as far as special education?
They have special education students, but clearly they don't have the depth of programs that we have.
Right.
We have no choice as to who comes to our schools and what kind of education we need to provide. The other piece that's concerning with charter schools, I know we're going off a bit on a tangent, is the teachers don't have to be licensed. I think many people don't recognize that. There has been some work in the Senate to try to change those things. Very controversial at this time.
And not to bash charter schools, but that there are a couple of things that need to be looked at to make it evening out leveling the playing field when it comes to
Absolutely.
Providing an education. They also do not have to adhere to a body like the school committee, like the Fine School Committee and the Whitman Hanson Regional School District. They don't have that oversight.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. Let's get right back onto our conversation. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Is there anything that we haven't touched upon in regards to the upcoming vote for this override, the student success budget, and it's what it's going to do in regards to replacing needs that have been lost over the past decade?
Sure. I think one thing I would like to offer is that the Whitman Hanson Regional School District, as our leadership team, we understand people don't like their taxes to go up. But many people don't understand that the district has worked in partnership with both towns to actually help reduce taxes over the years. Recently, we refinanced the high school, which has been a tax savings to both towns. The high school will be paid off in 2027, but at a little less money than they were originally thinking it was going to be. In 2010, we worked with the school building authority. We were able to pay off the building projects in Whitman and Hanson, actually saving millions of dollars for both towns. People are very quick to forget that the districts and the towns are working in partnership. Even with putting together the student success budget, there was a real mindfulness in terms of this is not something to gouge the public or to be unreasonable. This is an investment in the future. When you look at the tax rate, it's a little less than a dollar a day in both towns for an average price home. Given some of the savings in the past, this is a real investment in the kids. And as we mentioned earlier, today's student needs to come out of high school with skills, and they need to be globally competitive, not just Whitman-Hanson competitive, globally competitive and future ready. They're going to be doing jobs we don't even know exist. That's so there's so much in this. And I think the other piece with student success budget, it is well thought out. It's not something somebody just pulled out of the air and thought it needed to happen. A lot of meetings took place, really at looking at the whole child, elementary, middle, high school administrators, early childhood, everyone was involved. It's really there for the whole child. And it's just a beginning. It's not the answer. One more foreign language teacher in the middle schools is not going to make our kids have the foreign language experience they're having in neighboring communities.
Right.
Doesn't mean we're going to go for another override, but it doesn't mean we're finished paying for schools either.
Well, as you said earlier on in the conversation, and that is you know what, we can't look back to when we were in elementary school or high school back 20, 30 years ago, because education has evolved. Our country has evolved. Some of the things where we targeted as to having labor and having a workforce has changed. And we're going to continue to evolve. And we have to be ready to change with the time, so to speak. Right. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Oh, I totally agree. And one of the things that happens at Whitman-Hanson, and the school committee is very, very proud of this. Ruth, bringing this leadership team together, I've had the opportunity to sit in the meetings. They meet weekly. This isn't like a governmental project process where something is broke and it takes months to put it back together. They meet weekly and make changes. Mm-hmm. They meet and gather and find out what goes on from elementary to middle to high school the whole time. This is a weekly process that takes place. And when you have these meetings, you have kind of your finger right on the pulse of what's going on in the whole district. So nothing is slipping through the cracks. Things get changed immediately if they need to be looked at. But when they all move forward, they understand, the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, they understand by the principals coming forward and telling them, this is what we need. This is where the student success budget was centered, on needs, not on wants. These were on needs of a whole education for the child, and that's where it came from. It wasn't, as you mentioned earlier, it didn't just get pulled out of the air. There was a tremendous amount of thought process put into this, a large group of people making these decisions for the betterment of the Whitman-Hanson community as a whole. Because the whole community, Abraham Lincoln once said, and I quote this, teach the children, you won't have to teach the adults.
Anything you want to say to close out our segment, Ruth?
Well, I guess Saturday can't get here soon enough to suit me. We are available for any questions that people have between now and then. Clearly, we know this is hard for some people to, you know, to have their taxes go up. We're happy to talk to them. Both Bob Hayes and I, as well as our leadership team, are available to everyone. On our website, we have a community guide to understanding the budget that has much of the information we talked about with you, Kevin, and certainly people can look at that. But if they have questions, they shouldn't hesitate to contact us, school principals. Everyone's well-versed on it and happy to answer the questions.
Dr. Ruth Gilbert Whitner. She is the superintendent of the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District, as well as Mr. Bob Hayes, who is the school committee chair. And we've been talking about this coming Saturday's big vote in both Whitman and Hanson. If you live in those two communities, you don't have to agree with any of the conversation that took place here. If you have a feel, just get out and vote. But I will say, at least listen to what these two folks have said. They have made a concerted effort to get out and try to get the information out, as Ruth was saying, as her last comment was, is if you have questions, if you want an accurate depiction of what's going on, or you have a question, call the school district. You can check out the website. It's as easy as to do that. And they can even call Bob Hayes. Bob, you want to give out your phone number? Because I know you like to do that.
I have no problem with that, Kevin. If you have a question between this Monday night talk and next Saturday's vote, you can call me on my cell phone at 617 538 1-800-289-0189, and I will be happy to try and answer any questions for you.
He will do that. And again, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. this coming Saturday in the two towns, Whitman voting at Town Hall, McQuan School in Hanson. Get out and vote. That's it for this particular segment of Monday Night Talk. I want to thank you both for coming in.
It's a pleasure to talk with you.
You got it.
Thank you for having us.
We are going to step aside, and I promise, when we come back, our last segment here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.